hear from listeners on this as well, the kind of the coming of age books. But let's talk about movies for a moment. And well, your movie, what would the movie, would there be one particular movie, Shay, that would stand out for you?
Well, there are two that are kind of, they're corollaries of one another. In 1955, there was a movie called Blackboard Jungle. And Glenn Ford played a teacher in a school. And this was the first time we'd ever heard the word juvenile delinquent. Mm. And at that time, like, in terms of looking towards Britain, remember, we had no television. English films were all seen pallid and grey. American films always seemed exciting. So these juvenile delinquents came into our lives. And there was something, I mean, it was a vicarious thrill to go and see that movie. And everywhere it went, there was trouble. Every cinema it went to in Dublin, there was a guy called Lugs Brannigan who was a big policeman with big head and small ears, and he'd go out into Black Maria and there'd be a riot at the cinema where the Rock Around the Clock was, or Blackboard Jungle was, and Lugs would have to go in and wade in, box a few guys in the ears and everything would be okay. But Rock Around the Clock was the song in that movie, and that was the first rock and roll song that electrified the world. It sold 70 million copies. And then 2 years later, in 1957, Elvis brought out Jailhouse Rock. Now, the Jailhouse Rock sequence in that movie is the sexiest, most visceral thing I think I've ever seen in my whole life. And he was so beautiful to men and women. Men wanted to be him, women wanted to have him, but he was gorgeous and glorious. And I think again, the American influence freed me up, and I've always been more inclined to go west rather than east when I'm looking for influence.
Why were the riots in the cinemas?
It just because of the whole thing of the juvenile delinquents, we suddenly had a badge to wear. And I remember there was a bunch of guys at Sandyman, called the Sandyman gang. They're about 4 years older than me, and I met them one day. They were going out to see Rock Around the or Blackboard Jungle, and they had pockets full of small potatoes that they were going to throw at people when the lights went down inside. Yeah.
Maeve, and did you attend any of these righteous performances?
I remember 1956 when I was 16, the song Heartbreak Hotel. Oh God, it was absolutely amazing. I'd be like holding on to I don't know what, a dinner plate or something like that, and strumming away at it and saying, "You're ever so lonely, baby." Mm. Oh God, it was lovely. And then those were the ones that really mattered. And the next year there was All Shook Up, which also was fantastic. So I agree with you that everybody loved Elvis, and he was terrific. But sometimes, of course, I had my silly side as well, and I used to sing mournfully to myself, "Que sera, sera," which was a big song at the time. And because, I mean, it's funny, whenever I hear that song now, I want to shout halt, because that is not true. We are a bit in charge of our own destinies. That's just saying whatever will be,
yeah.
So that you have no control over life. And I think that, you know, we do have a bit of control over life, whether we enjoy it or see the jug half full or half empty or whatever it is. And I mean, to go along like Doris Day or who was saying, "Que sera, sera," it's absolute balderdash, you know. And yet it was nice, and it was haunting. And what else was lovely then? Love Letters in the Sand. I used to always think that was in Ballybunion, because we used to go to our holidays in Ballybunion. I could see Pat Boone with a stick writing my name on the strand. There was a place called the Ladies' Strand in Ballybunion. I could see him carving it in, and the waves coming to take it away. And it was also terribly soppy and sentimental.
You're really romantic, Maeve.
I'm a terrible custard heart romantic. Yeah. I am, really and truly. And I'd love to pretend now to you and to the listeners that I'm much more intellectual than I am. But there's no point, really. I mean, if you do this kind of conversation, you might as well be honest
with it.
It was like Shay saying there that he was going to say some other book instead of Catcher in the Rye, but since that's the one, to say something else is hopeless.
Yeah, somehow Owen Butler, I get the feeling that given that you're reading Catcher in the Rye at the age of 11 in Mayo, that it probably was music that was slightly darker than what Maeve has been describing.
Yeah, I think there was no film like Jailhouse Rock or anything. I mean, there were films I saw as a teenager that really, really, you know, as early, my early teens, you know, like Pulp Fiction or Trainspotting and stuff like that, but that they weren't really, it didn't really have anything to do with the coming of age thing. Music was much more for me, and I remember, like, I used to work for a relation of mine on building. He was a builder, and I used to lug blocks and stuff like that on a Saturday, and I'd get £10 for it. And then once every 2 months, I would go to Galway to go to the dentist, and I would buy with the money. I would buy tapes, because that was, I mean, it's not that long ago, but it like technology wise, it's a long time. And there was no internet, there was nowhere for me to find out about these things. So I used to like compile lists. And the band that I really, really was obsessed with were the Smiths, you know, Morrissey, and I recently in my car, which is parked illegally outside, if any clampers are in the area. Recently my car, I bought a car and I got there's a tape deck in it, so I started listening to those tapes again. And I mean, a lot of the stuff is kind of, you know, morbid and you know, some of it's kind of juvenile, but I mean, the Smith stuff really, really does hold up. The one song in particular that I would think, I may have mentioned writing in the sand, I remember driving, you know, being in the back of the car with my parents driving and imagining writing this, you know, on the sides of buildings, you know, take me out tonight. The song that they have, There Is a Light That Will Never Go Out, that song is incredible. And it really, really is, like, it's famous for the chorus, which is, if a double-decker bus crashes into us, to die by your side is such a heavenly way to die. But it's really not a love song at all. It's really more just about wanting excitement, about wanting to be away. So the first line, I think, in that, take me out tonight, is up there with anything, you know, like I can't get no satisfaction or any other line that you think that really just sums up what pop music is about, just a kind of a desire for just to see the, you know, the bright lights and excitement. And and that really, really, really would have been something that spoke to me as a teenager.
Did you get to see them?
To see
the Smiths?
Oh no, they'd broken up long before I'd heard of them.
Oh, right.
They were in the 80s when I came across
them. Oh, all right, in the 90s. Yeah.
Small mercy.
Small mercy, Steve. And the movie, you were saying the movie Pulp Fiction, for example.
That was astonishing. I saw that when I came up. I came up to, I think it might have been a Christmas or something like that. We saved up money. Myself and a couple of my mates came up on the train, and we actually specifically wanted to see that film. We were much too young to see it. We grew sideburns. We were like a rockabilly trio or something going in. Very kind of wispy sideburns to be allowed into the cinema to see it. And it was amazing. And then, of course, the film came to Ballyhonest about 2 months later, because that was the way it used to happen. And so we went to see it again, and we told all our friends to come, and then half our friends came out of it going, I don't get it. When John Travolta was dead 1 minute, then he was alive, and we were just kind of pulling our hair out. Come on, you have to. That film is just, it's incredible. And I don't think people younger than myself will ever be able to see it the way it was, because it's been ripped off so many times since that some of it's been kind of, like, the power of it's been slightly diluted, but it's still an incredible film.
We hadn't seen anything like that before. I think we have a clip of it here just to give you a flavour of what you felt like that time in the cinema in Ballyhonest.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration? I didn't mean to do that. Please.